A Chinese spy and a British premier minister seen together at whispering distance. Photos are now driving backlash over just how much the Chinese Communist Party's influence is cozying up to the West. The infamous phrase "made in China" found on medical masks distributed by Congress in Washington. This find is sparking concerns among U.S. lawmakers, specifically risks linked to supply chains. China says its economy saw the best growth in a decade last year, but is the figure reliable? And what's in store for the coming months? The Beijing Olympics boycott grows. Two more countries announced they'll skip the event, citing various reasons. And the abuse methods used on Uyghur Muslims were perfected through the persecution of a Chinese spiritual practice. This, as an award-winning movie director. His new film aims to expose the realities of China's human rights violations. Welcome to China In Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. How close can a Chinese spy get to a core circle of politicians and one of the U.S.'s most important allied nations? A photo going viral in the U.K. over the weekend shows it can be within whispering distance. In the photo, Chinese-British lawyer Christine Lee was talking to the then-British Prime Minister David Cameron. Lee was also given an award by another former Prime Minister, Theresa May, for promoting the relationship between the U.K. and its Chinese diaspora. But last week, in a rare move, the British spy service put the country's members of parliament on alert over this woman's apparent attempts to influence them. The intelligence agency says Lee has been working for the Chinese Communist Party. Similar cases also emerged in the U.S. and Canada. Let's take a look.
Britain's spy service, MI5, warned Parliament that the Chinese government has deployed a woman to exert improper influence over its members. MI5 on Thursday sent out an alert with a picture of the woman named Christine Lee, alleging she has interfered in UK politics on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party. An MI5 spokesperson, Lindsay Hoyle, said they've discovered Lee has facilitated financial donations to serving and aspiring parliamentarians on behalf of foreign nationals based in Hong Kong and China. Britain's interior minister told reporters that Lee's behavior wasn't currently unlawful, but added the alert was necessary to warn lawmakers about her attempts to influence them. Lee is the founder of a law firm with offices in London and Birmingham, and one of its stated purposes online was to advise the Chinese embassy in Britain, according to a government official. Requests for comment have been denied or left unanswered. The Chinese embassy in London said in a statement that China does not interfere in the internal affairs of other countries, adding, "We firmly oppose the trick of smearing and intimidation against the Chinese community in the UK." An opposition Labour Party lawmaker, Barry Gardiner, said he had received hundreds of thousands of pounds in donations from Lee and that he had been liaising with intelligence services about her. Britain's relations with China have deteriorated in recent years over issues including Hong Kong and the treatment of Muslim Uyghurs in Xinjiang. Last year, MI5 urged Britain to treat the threat of spying from Russia, China, and Iran as seriously as terrorism.
And now to Canada, where for the first time in recent history, the country's spy agency is also warning its politicians against becoming a target of China's influence operations. The Canadian Security Intelligence Service says it is concerned about China's effort to cultivate relations with elected officials. It says the regime wants to have leverage over parliamentary debates and government decision-making. A spokesman for the country's intelligence agency told Canadian news outlet The Globe and Mail that they are briefing Canadian members of parliament and senators on China's tactics. It said the agency wants to promote awareness of foreign interference and the actions of other hostile actors, and that it wants to strengthen individual security practices and protect Canadians and their interests. The spy agency says some methods that Beijing uses to cultivate relations include bribery and offering gifts and free trips. For more than a decade, China has been engaging in these tactics. From 2006 to 2017, Beijing and its affiliated businesses have sponsored 36 trips for Canadian officials to go to China. That's according to official Canadian documents. These free trips have decreased in recent times, partly due to the pandemic. But in 2017 and 2018, China spent tens of thousands of dollars in sponsoring Canadian officials, with all expenses paid trips. Most of the recipients were Liberal politicians and one Conservative MP. And some of these politicians even received gifts in addition to their free trip. Not only in the UK and Canada, but also in the US, Chinese spying is gaining attention. The latest case is a suspected Chinese spy in California by the name of Fang Fang. An Axios investigation cited US intelligence officials and one unnamed former elected official. It alleged that Fang got close to those with political power through campaign fundraising, extensive networking, personal charisma, and romantic or sexual relationships with at least two Midwestern mayors. Chinese spies have been known to approach local-level politicians. That's because Beijing knows some local politicians could rise to higher levels in the future. The outlet's investigation zeroed in on Congressman Eric Swalwell. Fang reportedly took part in fundraising activities for Swalwell's 2014 re-election campaign. Fang also allegedly helped place at least one intern in Swalwell's office. And the representative interacted with him at multiple events over the course of several years. Fang also allegedly helped place at least one intern in Swalwell's office. And the representative interacted with her at multiple events over the course of several years. U.S. Congress members are now required to wear medical masks to access the House floor. But the masks they received are a little controversial. That's because the masks also come with a stamp that reads Made in China. The picture, which was first obtained by Fox News, shows one of the masks. According to Fox News on Friday, the House physician had required legislators to switch to N95 or KN95 masks instead of cloth masks. The upgrade comes amid a surge of Omicron variant cases in the country. But the masks delivered to members' offices prompted lawmakers to point out the U.S.'s dependency on China for personal protective equipment or PPE. One Congress member told Fox News that the U.S.'s insecure supply chain presents a much greater risk to our overall national health. Another member said in a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that, quote, members of Congress should not have to wear masks manufactured by unfriendly regimes. According to senior advisor at the Hastings Center's Bioethics Research Institute, Rosemary Gibson, the U.S. depends on China for masks, scans, prescription drugs, and their ingredients, among other supplies. Gibson previously told the Epoch Times that this reliance exposes the U.S. to the risk of scarcity of crucial medicines such as antibiotics, as well as PPE. And in Washington, lawmakers introduced a bipartisan bill to end reliance on China for rare earth elements. Rare earths have a variety of both civilian and military applications that can range from batteries to fighter jets. And right now, China controls at least half of the sector. Republican Senator Tom Cotton and Democrat Senator Mark Kelly introduced the bill on Friday. It would force defense contractors to stop buying rare earths from China by 2026. Contractors would also have to disclose where they source the minerals. The bill would also require the Departments of Defense and the Interior to create a strategic reserve of the minerals in case supply is disrupted. The U.S. only has one rare earths mine and no way to process the minerals. Although the bill doesn't directly support the U.S. rare earth sector, Cotton said it should encourage more domestic output. Official data from China shows the country's economy rebounded in 2021 with its best growth in a decade. But now there are signs that momentum is slowing on weakening consumption and a property downturn. Experts also question the data's credibility. Here's NTD's Colin Fredrickson with more.
The Chinese regime says China's economy grew 8.1% last year, well above its target. But quarterly GDP growth slowed down to 4%, its weakest pace since the second quarter of 2020. Experts question whether we can trust China's data.
You've got closures of ports, you've got closures of factories, you've got supply chain disruption, all sorts of things which would all point at a down economy, not an up economy.
China's economy is based on consumption, investment, and exports. Business professor Frank Xie says consumption has been weak since the pandemic started.
Many companies closing, restaurants closing, millions of businesses closing. Chinese consumers, people, they don't have the income, discretionary income to spend.
China economic analyst Antonio Grisefo says the zero COVID policy in China is killing its economy.
Pulling a lot of workers out of their work, you know, right now in Xi'an and even in Shanghai now, they're having lockdowns and mass quarantines and things like this.
Starting from the Evergrande debt crisis, some experts think the real estate bubble is so huge it'll burst and affect the banks as well.
We know that the non-performing loans are increasing at the banks. The unpaid bonds are increasing now. Commercial paper is going into default.
With China's real estate and other industries in decline, a widening trade surplus is becoming the main engine driving China's economy.
Because of strong demand by other countries like U.S. and European countries of Chinese manufactured goods.
Grisefo says China's debt is already more than 300% of GDP, so he doesn't think China's economy will recover quickly. Colin Fredrickson, NTD News.
Omicron is finding its way into almost half of China's provinces and municipalities, including Beijing and Shanghai. Here's more.
China's capital reported its first case on Saturday. That's just 3 weeks before the city's Winter Olympics. Chinese authorities pointed to a parcel from Canada as the most possible cause of infection. The parcel had transited through the U.S. and Hong Kong before it reached the patient. Officials say they found traces of the virus on and inside the package. Observers note another possible explanation. The parcel may have been contaminated before entering China, but it also may have been contaminated by the patient in Beijing when she opened it. Chinese authorities have so far not excluded any single possibility. Most scientists see object surfaces as posing very little risk of transmitting the CCP virus compared to human-to-human transmission. Tension is rising in Beijing because the woman with a confirmed Omicron infection traveled to almost all city districts on public transit in recent weeks. Mr. Liu, a resident from Beijing, told the Epoch Times that local residents were notified by cell phone of a very detailed list of mid- and high-risk areas nationwide. The notice said anyone returning from these areas must report their journeys to the authorities.
If they found that you didn't report, that is, if you have been to those areas but didn't report, you will be prosecuted.
He added, the control over who can enter Beijing is extremely strict. He says the authorities' control feels more scary than the virus itself, and it's causing a lot of trouble in people's lives. And the situation in Shanghai is no better. As the virus strikes multiple districts in the city, Shanghai University has decided to seal its campus shut. Students rushed to escape from the campus on learning of the decision. Some were fast enough and managed to leave. A resident in Shanghai, Mr. Yang, confirms that at least one district is already under lockdown.
Anyway, you cannot go to Jiang'an District. Once you get in, you cannot get out.
Another Shanghai resident, Ms. Li, says it's very difficult to travel.
The pandemic is really serious. They will inspect your virus test, ID, travel code, health code, all the way. It's really strict and extremely tough to travel.
In China, the Omicron variant was first spotted in Tianjin. This close neighbor to Beijing is busy testing and imposing all kinds of restrictions in an effort to bring the virus under control. According to the Chinese state media's Monday report, an expert says Tianjin will reach what they call basically zero cases in a matter of a few days.
If that continues, I assume after a few days, Tianjin will achieve basically zero cases.
According to the authorities' interpretation, that means all confirmed cases and those potentially exposed to the virus will be either sealed in quarantine sites or moved out of the city.
The diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics is growing. A northern European country is the latest to join the effort. Denmark's foreign minister announced on Friday that the country will not send any officials to the Games due to human rights issues in China. He adds, it is no secret that we in Denmark are very concerned by the human rights situation in China. The decision comes after European Union states failed to agree on a common stance. So Denmark, part of the European Union, decided to go its own way. Lithuania was the first country to announce a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics last month in protest of China's human rights record. Later, the U.S. did the same, and it has been joined by other countries, including Australia, Britain, and Canada. Japan and Belgium won't send officials to Beijing either, both citing concerns over human rights and the rule of law in China. But they never officially called it a diplomatic boycott. Two German ministers made a personal decision not to attend the Games. And some other countries also announced they will not send diplomatic representatives to Beijing. But those officials cited the CCP virus pandemic. That includes New Zealand, the Netherlands, Sweden, and Austria. Athletes from all these countries will attend. China denies committing rights abuses and condemns the boycott, casting it as betraying Olympic principles. Ahead of the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics, Games participants from multiple countries, including Team USA, could be there without their personal cell phones. The Olympic committees for countries, including the Netherlands, the UK, Australia, and Canada, are urging athletes to leave their cell phones and laptops at home. This comes amid concerns about the risk of cyber spying on athletes during the Games. Instead, advisors for Team USA encourage traveling athletes to rent or use disposable computers and burner phones. That's according to a Wall Street Journal report on Friday. The advisory also warned that every device, communication, transaction, and online activity may be monitored, and that, like computers, their cell phone data is subject to malicious intrusion, infection, and compromise. If the athletes choose to take their phones to China, they are advised to delete their personal information and other saved data. With several countries making this special recommendation, the organizing committee of the Beijing Games has responded, saying that personal information would not be disclosed unless the disclosure is, quote, necessary. The Epoch Times interviews an award-winning film director about his new movie. It's the kind of film moviegoers won't see from major Hollywood studios. The movie is about human rights violations in China.
Peabody Award-winning director Leon Lee sits down with the Epoch Times' American thought leaders in a deep dive on aspects of his new film, Unsilenced.
More than 10,000 Falun Gong practitioners protest.
The movie is set in China in the late 1990s and is based on true events. Lee explains it tells the story of a group of Chinese students and an American reporter's journey in exposing one of the biggest human rights atrocities in China, and that is the Chinese regime's decades-long persecution of Falun Gong. One aspect the movie touches on about the persecution is the methods authorities use against Falun Gong practitioners.
We've seen practitioners' fingernails being pried out with bamboo shoots. In Unsilenced, for example, we have practitioners burned by irons, shocked by electric batons. So violence and propaganda, the two most effective weapons the CCP had.
Lee also explains to American thought leaders the scale of this ongoing persecution.
The entire nation is mobilized in the crackdown against Falun Gong. That's why you see husbands forced to divorce their wives. Children were kicked out of school because their parents are Falun Gong practitioners. Your colleagues, your classmates, your friends, everybody is mobilized to turn against you.
Unsilenced follows protagonist Wang. He is a Falun Gong practitioner. Overnight, he became an enemy of the state when the Chinese regime launched its persecution of the spiritual practice on July 20, 1999. Li explains why practitioners don't simply renounce their beliefs.
Some people felt, why don't you simply renounce your faith? Just go along with the party and then you have a life. No, you won't have a life. Simply renouncing your faith is not enough. You have to turn in your friends. You have to betray the people you love. You have to completely sell your soul to the regime in order to survive. And do you still call that surviving? Do you still call that living, right?
The government is conducting one of the largest-scale propaganda campaigns.
As seen in the film, despite the regime's rampant propaganda and violent means of suppressing the practitioners, these individuals did not respond in kind. Rather, the practitioners have countered the persecution using peaceful means, such as distributing leaflets that expose Beijing's actions. But in this crackdown, authorities have even developed a particular way of catching people who distribute or produce such materials.
The officials put special devices on their vans, and they would go through different communities trying to detect whose printers are running. And based on how long it is running, they can see, well, maybe this is underground material site that's being used to produce those leaflets.
Li says that the persecution of Falun Gong is very significant. It's why he found it puzzling that Falun Gong is rarely mentioned when countries announce the diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Olympics, citing human rights violations.
When talking about the boycotting of the Beijing Olympics, it reminds me of something quite puzzling. In almost all these official statements, people mentioned the Uyghurs. People mentioned other, you know, groups that were persecuted, but rarely people mention Falun Gong. But it's very important to point this out because the methods that was perfected in the persecution of Falun Gong have later been used in targeting other groups, including the Uyghurs.
Unsilenced has been playing in the film festival circuit for some time. The movie was honored with an audience award at the Austin Film Festival. Li says that in that screening, half the audience was left in tears. The movie will have a limited theatrical release starting Friday across North America.
The movie Unsilenced will be released in 30 American cities on January 21st. Check the website for more details at www.unsilencedmovie.com. A new report by Taiwan Cybersecurity Commission is setting off alarm bells. It detected 7 built-in apps buried inside a certain kind of Chinese smartphone. All the apps share one common function: censoring politically sensitive words. They are found within Mi 10T 5G smartphones, manufactured by Chinese telecom giant Xiaomi. The phones are sold around the world, including in the U.S. Previous U.S. sanctions have made business tough for top Chinese telecom company Huawei. The tech giant has suffered amid a huge decline in its mobile phone sales. That's when Xiaomi came in, hoping to take over the market gap Huawei left behind. But now, Xiaomi seems to be facing similar pushback over cybersecurity concerns. The recent Taiwanese report finds the Xiaomi app's built-in censorship tools can filter out over 2,000 politically sensitive terms. Among them, terms like Free Tibet and Taiwan independence, plus the names of Chinese Communist Party leaders. Users of this smartphone are blocked from accessing websites related to these terms. And what's more, the Taiwanese report finds these built-in apps can also transmit users' internet history data to servers in Beijing. Taiwan Cybersecurity Commission says it forwarded the concerns to Xiaomi's Taiwan branch. But the Chinese phone maker denied the allegations. It says the built-in apps are used to prevent users from viewing inappropriate content, like violence, sex, and hate speech. Despite the cybersecurity allegations against the Chinese tech company, Xiaomi still took the number one slot in global smartphone sales rankings last year, outselling Samsung and Apple for the first time ever. But the same year, the Trump administration blacklisted Xiaomi over its links to China's military. That's until the Biden administration reversed this move in May last year. But it's not just the U.S. that's taken issue with the company. In Europe, Lithuania has urged users to ditch Chinese-manufactured smartphones, including those made by Xiaomi and Huawei. That's after an investigation by the Lithuanian government found built-in censorship tools buried within the phones. And another blow to China's Ant Group. The group is partly owned by Alibaba. Its founder is Chinese billionaire Jack Ma. The communist regime's clampdown on Alibaba started in 2020 after Jack Ma criticized China's financial system. And this time, Sinda, one of China's biggest state-backed asset managers, is scrapping a planned investment in Ant Group. It was supposed to buy a 20% stake in the consumer finance arm of Ant. Cinda's deal would have been worth nearly $1 billion and would have increased its stake to 24%. That would have made Cinda the second biggest investor of Ant Group. Chinese regulators are pressuring Ant's consumer finance arm to fold Ant's two lucrative microloan businesses into it, and that would require it to follow rules similar to those for banks. This would reduce the competitiveness of Ant's businesses. Ant Cinda is backed by the Chinese regime, which makes the cancellation more significant. Back in November 2020, Beijing blocked Ant Group from getting listed on the stock market. The move was widely considered retaliation over Ma's criticism of China's financial system. Last year, Chinese regulators slapped Alibaba with an unprecedented financial penalty, totaling nearly $6 billion. And that's all for today's China in Focus. Thanks for watching and see you tomorrow.